as I talked to Jason Cans this morning from Eau Claire, the best 5 minutes of the day is, I think I've been outside already, driven to work. You're still inside the comfy, cozy home, right?
I am still inside. I'm glad you said that because I would just looked outside and thought it was great.
So. Right. It just very, very light, but it's kind of a slick layer there, so be careful. All right, boy. Let's just skip today in history. Big tragedy in the news yesterday. And I'd seen you for church in the morning, but all of a sudden in the afternoon, this breaking, stunning story of the helicopter crash. Ultimately, we find out 9 dead, including Kobe Bryant and his 13-year-old daughter. Stunner.
Yeah, it was. I had first seen something that you had shared about it, and I thought that just seemed a little bit surreal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it started showing up all over, and lots of people were making a lot of guesses about what had happened. And the one consistent thread was that Kobe Bryant had been killed.
Mm-hmm. And the thing, fantastic basketball player. I mean, I was saying in terms of maybe just a notch below Michael Jordan, and with all the respect, though, I mean, his nickname, Black Mamba, I mean, he had just that competitiveness. In a world that's very competitive, he was, you know, on the highest level of that.
Yeah. I read something yesterday that his parents had to co-sign his NBA contract because he was still 17. And I was wondering just about that natural gifting versus how much work he put in. But I agree. I think Michael is the better player, but he sure was close.
Yeah. I mean, you look at titles. I mean, he won 5. Now, he had 3 of them with Shaq, but he wins 5 titles. Michael had the 6. But he was just such a good complete player. I mean, offensively and defensively, like Michael. And he really is kind of the Michael to his generation. But then after that, it seemed like even in his post-basketball in the subsequent few years, I mean, he was he seemed to have changed in terms of just a massive accessibility, maybe even as he faced his own mortality and the injuries that ultimately led to his retirement. And here he was coaching his daughter's team. And it said, hey, she could be the next Kobe. So it was, but beyond that, beyond the immediacy of that, even for something for us to talk about this morning, is just life itself, right? We believe, I know you and I both believe that God is telling an ultimate story and we get to play a bit part. But when we see parts of our story or the story as it plays out here regarding Kobe Bryant, you certainly many times can look heavenward and go, what's going on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, things like this happen every day. But when it's a celebrity, it really brings it to the forefront for us, you know. And all of us face the question of what are we doing with the life that we're given?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think when these events happen, we have to face that question and ask, okay, you know, who are we? Who is God? And all of those questions that seem to come up, rather than conjecture about, you know, what happened to Kobe or the other people in the helicopter, you know, it turns it back on us.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I was reading it in Luke 13, where you know the crowd is saying, "Well, what about those Galileans whose blood the Pilate mixed with the sacrifice?" You know, and wondering if it was something within them, and Jesus saying, "You focus on you," you know, and it's really it's something each of us have to grapple with, I think, and I think it's good for us to grapple with mortality.
Two other things I want to mention here, and we got about 2 minutes to do it. One is you're author of the book "Living in the Larger Story: The Christian Psychology of Larry Crabb." People can tell people how they can learn more about that book.
Yeah, they can find it. It's on Amazon right now. It's also linked through my blog, jasoncans.com.
All right. There's a book in there I want to highlight, Finding God, 1993. Larry Crabb had this great success with Inside Out. But then his brother, wasn't 41 years old, but in his early 50s, he too died in a plane crash. And Larry gets a tap on the shoulder on a Sunday morning. One of the great things you do in Living in the Larger Story is you summarize each of Larry's 26 books. What about that book, Finding God? There's one particular line in there that I know really strikes me, which was basically Larry was saying, God, I know you, but I, on the heels of my brother's death, I need to know you better.
Yeah. You know, I think that Larry had has an amazing ability to write about just very openly about hard things. And in that book, you can definitely see his wrestling with God. And I think it's good for us to wrestle with God through things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, he tells that story there.
Right. And so the book is Finding God. The other thing is just some scriptures for people. I remember as a college freshman, I getting away from home, the safety and security, mom and dad back in suburban Milwaukee. I was in Eau Claire. It's not every college freshman's thought process, but mine was of my own mortality. I'm like, I'm going to die, you know? And yeah. And the positive of that is spiritually, I mean, that really opens the door to spiritual reality. But in terms of those wrestling with death, I love these verses in Hebrews 2, and we'll close it, and then we get a song from Toby Mac. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. And then verse 15, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Just powerful, meaningful verses.
Amen.
Yeah. So, all right, Amen. Jason, tell you what, speaking of death, it hit the contemporary Christian community in the not-too-distant past with the death of Toby Mac's son, and he's recorded a very the most personal song he's ever done. It's 21 years, and we've got it this morning. Talk to you tomorrow. Jason Cairns, WWIB. Again, learn more about his writings, his website, jasoncairns.com. We call it Make Me Laugh, and more recently, The Morning Drew with our friend Drew Fralick, comedian and counselor from Michigan. But today, our subject is No Laughing Matter. Drew, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Mark?
I'm all right. I know an hour ago we talked about the stunning death of 41-year-old basketball icon Kobe Bryant with our friend Jason from jasoncairns.com. And with you now, I mean, the story regarding this coronavirus, because as it ties back to China, you're very familiar with the location where this is kind of born out of, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually really crazy because this whole coronavirus in China, it's a kind of epicenter of it is Wuhan, and that's the city that I was in when I originally went there. I was there for 3 years. My college roommate, he's there right now. We went over to China together. And I've been talking back and forth with him this week. It's crazy, you know. It's a city of 11 million people. They've completely quarantined it off. Nobody can leave. Nobody can come in. And most people are just kind of sitting in the house right now. I know he's got two young kids under five, and they're just everybody's just inside. It's like a ghost town. So it's really pretty crazy.
And this is Chinese New Year, and so this is you can explain that to us a little bit, because I don't think we have a typical comprehension of that, right?
Yeah, so Chinese New Year is the biggest holiday of the year over there. when, you know, people generally, they don't work where they are from, so the outbreak is kind of in the middle of China, and a lot of people from that area, they work all over, you know, north, south, east, west, all over China. And then people generally work the whole year, and then they'll go back for 2 weeks out of the year during Chinese New Year to see their family. And the week leading up to Chinese New Year is it's the biggest migration of humans on the planet right now.
Hmm.
You have tens of millions, maybe even hundreds of millions of people taking planes, trains, just moving, going back home, seeing people, going on vacation. And so it's wild that, you know, they haven't only locked down Wuhan, but basically the entire province there, which is, you know, close to probably 100 million people. It'd be like a third of the U.S. being unable to, you know, go outside or take a train or take a bus. It's wild.
Mm. And so even when you talk about Wuhan being 11 million, I see as many as 56 million are quarantined in China right now.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean,
and you've had some contact with your college roommate who's there. I mean, it's kind of like a ghost town, right? I mean, people are inside.
I mean, people don't want to go to the grocery store or go out. I mean, I'm sure people have seen like the pictures of China and just like the massive crowds, and there's just obviously a lot more density there. And so the government is just basically afraid, you know, like if we let things go on as normal, this thing could turn into a global pandemic, not to be too dramatic, but really it could. I mean, it's really a very serious situation.
Yeah. And so, again, just the latest on that, I mean, you want to get a virus like this, you know, keep it as limited as possible. You don't want it to break out and go global. There have been 5 cases reported in the U.S. as to this time. And so, but I thought it was interesting, again, because of your ties there, not only just to China in general, but that that very city.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends still there, and, you know, prayers for them.
Mm-hmm.
And just for friends and family that are there.
Is your son from, you have a 4-year-old son you adopted from China. Is he from Wuhan?
He's from the province just north of there.
Okay.
So also very heavily affected.
Yeah.
So, it's just a really bad situation. And hopefully it'll pass in a couple weeks and things will go back to normal.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping for. So, hey, thank you, Drew. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Drew Freilich from Michigan this morning here on WWIB. All right, recapping our weekend, we've got the, I don't know, do we call you Queen Palooza or what do we call you here? The chair of the Locapalooza event. Great job. I happened to be there on 2 different intervals, Saturday afternoon and again for the final Saturday night. It seemed to be a really well-run event at Altoona High School.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a busy day. I was there. I was there Thursday. I don't even know. We were there until like, what, midnight or so? No, 11 or so on Thursday, working from 9 to 11. And then Friday, we were pretty much there, Dean and I, from like 10 noonish, something like that, to 8 p.m. And then Saturday was the big day, and we were there from 6 a.m. to just after midnight.
Maybe explains why you're a bit hoarse this morning. Huh?
Yeah, I'm just really tired. Yeah. I'm really tired today. Mm-hmm. So, but that's okay. And, you know, my cold is kind of reemerging, which is
a major bummer.
Yeah. But yeah. It was a great time. It was a great event. Everyone had fun. There were no major incidences or issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a blast. It's a blast to do it and make it happen. So
very good.
It's fun.
Well, as per usual, I found out just how many things that I'd let go during the week, and it's, wow, we have a lot of errands to run on Saturday. So, but that was kind of fun, too, because we don't always do what we did on Saturday, which is the girls in the family, Lindsay and Lily and Nora, went one place, and Cooper and I went another place. And so, so it was kind of fun. Just they got to do some shopping together, and Cooper and I ran some errands together as well, too. So it was kind of fun and, again, helps me appreciate when I have just one child in tow how much my wife does whenever she tries to run errands with three children in tow as well. So that took up a lot of Saturday. It did, but
yeah.
It was good. And there was some snuggling with blankets involved Saturday evening because we had a little bit more time. And then church family, potluck.
Nice.
Good old Baptist potluck yesterday and spent some time in Dallas, Wisconsin with Grandma Vicky, who's doing well. So
good. Glad to hear that. We've been praying for her. Well, we had our party yesterday afternoon at MyCon Chippewa Falls celebrating the adoption of Michael. And so
yes.
We had church folks, but then various other people who came and joined us for that. We had Sloppy Joe's, but some rice and Liberian greens on top. So anyhow, that was a good time. I think Michael was approaching a new record on chocolate chip cookie consumption. I think Evelyn made just loads of chocolate chip cookies on Saturday, and they were delicious. And so, I got to say, though, backing up, slept in until 6:45 on Saturday. And was so, like, I don't typically stay in bed that long, and that was great. So getting some rest. And even Hillary, because I was trying to pick up, the Republicans were giving their side of things in the whole impeachment trial on Saturday, mm-hmm. And so I had NPR on. And then after that, there was the opera.
Oh.
And I was thinking of you because I'm listening to some of the opera commentary. So you talk about sports. I'm like, all right, let me try to just
hang
with this a little while.
Sure.
What opera was it?
Well, I can tell you next week it's Porgy and Bess.
Oh, cool.
So that was interesting to get some of the story. But, I mean, they kind of were going on it. We were getting ready to rejoin. And it was like they were explaining the story for quite a while. I stuck with it as long as I could.
I'm
and
heading
I'm
to
like,
the opera in, what is it,
out.
June. I'm heading to Don Giovanni over in the city.
Aha.
So it's a good time.
There you go. All right. It's a Monday, so mingling Monday. Mingling, I think of networking, right? I mean,
yes.
If you talk about the late Tim Russert, I read an article once that he and his wife were excellent in terms of working a room. What do you think of with that? It's getting around and not just staying hunkered down, but talking to the folks, meeting people.
Right. You know, and you've mentioned the book before, the Dale Carnegie book.
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Absolutely. And lots of good information in there for doing this as well. So
see, this list that we have coming up for you comes in the context of a lot of Super Bowl parties and things like that coming up. I have to say, as an introvert, and a Super Bowl party, I want somebody running interference blocking for me so I don't have to interact. However,
funny.
It's good to learn these skills.
Yes.
Yeah, and again, and business-wise.
Yeah, you can apply this not just to Super Bowl parties, but to any kind of
gathering.
And the big thing, you talked about the Carnegie book, so real quick. I mean, the thing is, everybody, the sweetest sound in the world to anybody is their name.
Yeah.
So knowing people's names. And then ask questions. Everybody's favorite subject is
themselves.
So that's how you do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Ask people about themselves. But here's some other tips for work in a room, essentially. Keep your phone on vibrate.
So that's not a good thing if all of a sudden you're
if it's constantly pinging and dinging? No.
Okay.
Keep it on vibrate.
All right.
When a part of any conversation, one-on-one or group, kind of the same deal, put your phone out of sight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you go to humor, keep it clean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed.
And totally.
Ephesians 4:29, check it out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Never eat and talk at the same time.
Been working on that with my four-year-old.
That's so hard. Because I'm hungry sometimes.
This is like all you really need to know you learned in kindergarten, right?
Right, yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
Never talk or laugh too loudly.
Guilty. So guilty.
Why?
I'm just always told that I'm a very loud person.
I didn't mean just you, but I mean, why do you think that is a tip about not laughing too loudly?
I don't know, because I laugh loudly and it brings people joy.
Yeah.
Maybe? I don't know.
What do you think,
totally
Caleb?
Wrong.
Why is that a flag on that one?
I would say that, again, some people, again, speaking from the introvert's perspective, some people feel dominated by a very loud person.
Okay.
And so it kind of makes us shrink even more into our already very tight space.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
Never even complain about the food.
Don't do it.
Truth. Never complain about the food.
I thought they'd have better food at the Super Bowl party.
Well,
yeah,
and if you don't know everyone, you don't know who brought what. So
indeed.
If you complain about the food, you could really
that's
be
basic potluck etiquette as well,
yes.
too. Because
we
had a potluck at church yesterday, and I probably was guilty of this one. Never overload your plate at the buffet. There were so many delicious choices, and I was trying to figure out something for my son as well. So
my question is, if you don't overload your plate at the buffet, are you allowed to go back up like a number of times, or is that just as bad? Because I'm like, oh, I'll just take a little.
Well, then you can mingle with more people each time. Sure.
Right.
Here's the thing. If you go to a buffet at a restaurant, you get a fresh plate every time. But at somebody's house, never monopolize another guest's time.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And it says never sit down. I don't know if you're...
If it's a Super Bowl party,
you got to sit down at some point. But again, if your goal is, you know, for instance, if you're at a political gathering and you're saying, hey, I want to make sure I make some networking connections, then you probably don't sit down.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So if you're a fan, you might want to watch the game and see if you kind of think in terms of how you're going to be able to take it in, which I think it is going to be a good game.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hillary?
Kansas City and San Francisco.
Well, sometimes we love the scientific discoveries that come out of nowhere and enlighten our lives and give us new knowledge. And then other times, science discovers something that we all already knew.
When science gets paid research dollars to discover something that seemed to be common sense, you say, really? Really? I hope that wasn't my taxes going to a publicly funded university project. But here's what we learned. Is it okay to eat snow? Ann Nolan, a professor at University of Nevada, Reno, says, yep. You can eat snow. Thanks.
Wow.
She says everyone should eat snow because it's really fun. That is a direct quote.
That science says fun.
Professor Nolan, who studies snow and ice in the climate system, which is very legitimate,
interesting,
says most snow is just as clean as any drinking water. Again, I'm pretty sure our parents told us that, at least if you grew up in this part of the country. To make their way from the cloud to the ground, cold water molecules have to cling to particles of dust or pollen to form the ice crystals and then grow into snowflakes in a process called deposition. These, Nolan points out, are the same tiny particles we normally breathe.
Yeah.
Plus, as snowflakes fall, they have a harder time picking up soot and other air pollutants than raindrops, which are better at picking up these particulates. Again, what she's saying is, as long as it's fresh fallen snow, you can eat it.
Pretty sure
our moms all told us that.
Don't eat the yellow snow and don't eat the snow off the road.
Yes. Again,
that's salty snow.
You didn't think that you'd need
Yeah.
A research study from a public university for that, but thank you.
Apparently we do.
Thank you. Confirmation.
Here's another one. It turns out we can actually blame our spouse, kids, aging parents, whoever, for our gray hair.
Really?
Yes. According to new research published this month in the journal Nature, scientists have managed to identify an actual process that connects stressful experiences to hair graying. Really? You don't say. I'm shocked. It explains so much about my luscious locks, if you will.
I'm going to just name each gray hair that my wife finds and plucks. It's like, well, I'm going to name one after the kids individually and the dog, and then after the mortgage and all of that. So
yeah, well, this,
thanks, science.
This study found that when the body is under stress, our fight or flight response is activated, which causes permanent harm to the stem cells in hair follicles that regenerate pigment.
And here's the thing. This is why the Book of Proverbs says that gray hair is a crown for the aged, right? Because if all of these life stresses cause gray hair and you have a full head of gray hair, you have lived.
You have survived.
So,
right? So just
well done.
Embrace. I'm not dyeing my hair. I don't know. I'm 41 years old. I am really getting gray, like really getting gray. And I'm like, no, I'm not dyeing it because I've earned this. And I don't.
It's a badge of honor.
It is. I'm not dyeing my hair. I'm just going to.
As a blonde, I think mine will blend in a little bit more.
I actually kind of like it because it's not like a dull gray. It's like silvery gray.
Sure.
So I like it. I'm digging it. I'm keeping it.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.